Mr. Albertson, I have a question on page 2 of 9. And the first whereas.
2 of 19.
2 of 19, I'm sorry. It states the city will now require the purchaser to provide a state of Alaska ID or driver's license or sign a statement saying they are of age and not on restricted status. Now, I don't know if the of age is a question since they're required to prove they're 21, right? So I don't know if that's an issue. I don't know if it ever was. But signing a statement when you're doing it with a tribal ID seems like it's going to defeat the purpose of the whole resolution. That what you're basically proposing here is you don't need a state ID. You're signing something that says you're not on restricted status because I don't have a state ID. That's the way I'm interpreting it anyways.
Right. So I guess so that was a provision made in state statute, and again, this was surprising to me as well. And it might seem like, well, you could just sign a piece of paper and then you don't need an ID, but it does add that sort of extra level of accountability and auditability. So if there were problem purchasers, you would have an ability to go back and have that. So you'd have an ID that at least matched with their statement where they testified that they were not forbidden from buying alcohol. So I don't know that there's a way to remove that or not. I would be fine with just requiring a state ID. To me, this seemed like sort of a concession for folks that might have difficulty obtaining a state ID. I'll let City Clerk add anything if she wants to, since we were kind of both, I think, researching this topic lately. But I would say, you know, if that is a sticking point for anyone here, this is an introduction. I would entertain changes to this. I'm not, I would hate to see reasonable controls. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, right, if there's one thing. And I don't know, Lori, do you have anything else to add to that?
So the only thing that I want to clarify is that tribal IDs are not a statute acceptable form of identification for the purchase of alcoholic beverages. Military IDs are, passports are, state IDs of any state, as well as driver's licenses. But tribal ID should not be accepted by vendors as identification. And I have verification from the AMCO office that that is the case.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm reading your proposal, Councilman Albertson, and one of the questions that I have is how are we going to mandate that the vendors share information on the 2 bottles per day limit? That's my first question. And my second question would be the restrictions. What are we talking about? State law restrictions, like if a person is on parole or probation or conditions of release, that they cannot consume alcohol, cannot purchase alcohol, and how would that be handled?
Right. So through the mayor, the second question first, there's, I think, always going to be holes in the system, right? If someone ends up on a restricted list, there's kind of no list that's updated instantly. So that is true. And that's, I think, would always be a problem. But by moving towards state IDs, we would at least have some system, right? It would show up as a red stripe eventually, hopefully. So, to answer the first question is, this was a, as we've gone through the process with speaking with vendors and previous vendors, you know, this idea of kind of a no-sell list or some kind of collaborative thing where, you know, there's a mothership that holds all this information, just really didn't seem feasible. It didn't seem like the courts could do it. It didn't seem like the city could do it. It seemed like an unreasonable burden on the vendors. So there's no provision in that for that in here, right? I would like it to be that way, but I didn't see a good way to do that. So what that means is if we had two operating vendors, both of them would be limited to selling two bottles to a person, right? And that there's a that might mean four bottles in two stops. But I didn't. I'm open for suggestions on a better way to coordinate with that. But it did seem like it would be burdensome on the vendors, and there wasn't already an existing system to, you know, plug that into or something.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. One more comment, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. You know, one of the things that I've thought about over time is the residents of Bethel have actually voted on this local option law, and it's not necessarily the villages around Bethel that voted for this local option law. So can we, as a city, restrict sales of alcohol to only residents of Bethel and non-residents? Is there a mechanism? If we can't do it in the sense of if we can't do it where... If we can't restrict the,
We had that discussion, and I don't think we can legally. Okay. So that was brought up before, and legally it was brought by our attorney. We cannot do that.
That might have been prior to my being on the council. Yeah. So
if that was your previous... second part, your second part was, you had a second, or did that?
No, that was it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Thank you. I have two questions. On the last whereas, there's a Internal Revenue Service strap stamp not intact. I have never seen any Internal Service stamp strapped concerning open containers in this state. I know in other states do it. So I'm kind of wondering... Anyone caught with a container that has the Internal Revenue Service strap stamp not intact, any container or package that has been opened at least once since purchase, manufacturing, I guess that's a real open-ended type of whereas for me. Second issue is if you're a law-abiding citizen within the city of Bethel, you could not purchase four bottles of hard liquor from one store in one day. I don't understand why a law-abiding citizen can't purchase as much liquor as they want to if they say they have a sale on one day and you want to get that special purchase. You're taking away the law-abiding citizen's right to purchase their liquor because other people are having problems with their drinking. That is a concern, because if we're looking to have a business model for our community and collect as much revenue within our community, we're taking that away from our local vendors, and we're saying go to Anchorage because you could order a case of liquor if you want to, 30 cases of, you know, beer, and come back and bring it through and not pay a dime to us. That's my concern. If we're working as a business model and letting the businesses run as a business, we're taking that business model away from them. Thus, they're not going to be competitive, because people who are not law-abiding and people that are law-abiding will continue to buy their liquor in Anchorage, and the city will not see any of that revenue through sales tax. And that is a concern. What do we do with people that are in good standing? That don't have problems. that's why I'm concerned about limiting the amount of that one person can borrow, buy. If you're having a party, a graduation party, and you can't buy four from one vendor because it's not acceptable, that's a concern. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Any further discussion? I would actually entertain a motion to suspend the rules to hear from the police chief since he was brought up in this resolution.
So moved, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Chief Burke, if you don't mind, the current law states that, at least the city code states that you can't be caught actively consuming alcohol. Otherwise, it's a citation, correct?
Current code says you can't consume from an open container. I guess that means you can consume from a closed container, but
but
a little hole.
But the spirit of your question is true.
Basically, what I described.
You cannot consume from an open container. So it's not an open container itself is not prohibited. Consuming from an open container.
Okay. Now, what this is doing is it's changing that to having an open container on you, whether it has a seal or not.
That's my understanding, yes, Mr. Mayor.
And
you have a seal.
I remember, I don't know if the law has changed, but 20 years ago we had an ILOC, illegal liquor open container. And we used to see it all the time in the Tundra Drums, ILOC. And then that was actually brought to the courts and found out that it was not constitutional. Then that stopped. I don't know if the law has changed. Do you know anything to that effect about this being lawful?
I can't speak specifically to what I can't recall what the acronym is that you brought up, but there are other communities in Alaska that I'm aware of that do have open container laws. And we even looked at some of those when we were trying to draft language. So it's been done successfully elsewhere. That could be because it hasn't been challenged, though, as well.
Yeah, I remember we used to see a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And that was just a question I had. Definitely some research. If this passes tonight, I'll be delving into it and looking. Any further questions for Police Chief Burke while he's here?
You're letting me off easy? All set?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I really did.
That's why I was here.
And I understand that the current liquor store, Caribou Liquor, is doing three bottles of hard liquor on their own. 3 750 mLs or whatever that is. In case you, and if anybody else hasn't noticed, it's also changing the hours of operation from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., where currently it was 11 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Howell.
May I speak to this issue?
Yes, please.
Mr. Mayor, just in general, putting my fire chief hat on here for a moment, if you may permit me. I do support any type of harm reduction strategy that the city could implement through ordinance or through encouragement or education. I think that the voluntary restrictions that Caribou Liquors has put on have helped. anything that helps reduce the demand on our public safety providers for a lot of what are probably non-emergency alcohol-related calls is good for the general public that may have a baby not breathing or a serious assault or serious crime going on in their house that they otherwise might be tied up taking care of people that are healthy but intoxicated. We don't mind helping them and getting them to safety, people that experience that issue. So I support this in spirit. I don't know what the data shows on open container laws. I do know that I've been at a number of public safety commission meetings where this has been something that has been called for giving a try or looking at or seeing that this would be something beneficial. So I would just encourage the council to support some version of this and have some really meaningful discussion about what might help our community. I think Councilmember Williams brings up some great points about why should a law-abiding citizen be burdened with these rules. Remember, they can still plan ahead a little bit for that graduation party or family event or wedding and still order from Anchorage. So I think this would probably mostly affect users that have a more urgent need as opposed to a person who's planning a catering event. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Barr.
Under page 12, item E, security cameras, at least one 24-hour time-lapse security camera is required to be installed and properly maintained in the store. Can we interject a statement or a phrase that includes that it must be a 30-day security time-lapse camera system? Because I'm looking at this and it sounds like it's only required for 24 hours and that's it.
Yeah, that's the current code. That's not an introduction. That's currently code now.
So would I entertain a motion to...
You can amend.
To amend the code, Mr. Mayor?
Amend the introduction.
Yes, Your Honor.
To... Instead of doing 24 time lapse, you want it to be at least 30 days?
Yes.
Is that your intent?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Laura, you get that?
I got that, thank you.
You want to state that? So
sure. The motion would be to strike 24 hours and to insert 30 day for the time lapse camera.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. There's a motion, there's a second to change the current code, amend this introduction from 124 to 30 days. Any discussion? I understood when we talked about this last time, I think you were in the discussion, Mr. Alberts, where we talked about further out. It would be a lot more expensive for the vendors. I don't know how much more. I remember that being discussed. I'm just trying to backtrack. Go ahead. I was actually.
I guess, I mean, for myself, I would be willing to hear from vendors. I just, you know, at my house, mine does a week and it was $500. So, I mean, data is cheaper than storage keeps getting cheaper and cheaper. So I mean, I would hate to, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to make unnecessary burdens if there's a difference between 2 weeks and 30 days or whatever. I'm guessing that would be adding some hard drives might be relatively easy, but I could go either way on this. And I guess if whether this amendment passes or not, if this is introduced, I would be under public hearing, be interested to hear from vendors if that's a heavy lift or not.
Further discussion on the amendment? Mrs. Jung-Jordan.
I'd be
Yeah, and there will be, the vendors will have a chance to address that at the next meeting. And hopefully they'll be out here, so.
Your Honor.
Mr. Barr.
Mr. Mayor, if we can suspend the rules and just ask the vendors directly, there's two vendors or there's one vendor
okay.
plus one.
You making a motion to suspend the rules to hear yes. from the vendors? Is there a second? Okay, there's a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Nay. Mr. Barr, go ahead and.
Through the mayor, Todd, would you come on up here and just explain what kind of a security camera system you have, if you don't mind, sir?
No. Todd Perez on behalf of Caribou Liquor.
You're not talking into the mic.
Oh, Todd Perez on behalf of Caribou Liquor. We have a loop system, and it's not that detailed, much more detailed. Our added cost to extend the to a 14 or 30 day period.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like that, I have no problem with that. Okay. It helps out, I think, everybody. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Would an AC representative like to come and speak to that, or are you guys good?
If we can just, Mr. Mayor, ask Mr. Seth Madol to explain his current AC security system at the store.
Thank you, Mr. Madol.
Grocery store.
Seth Madol, last name spelled M-A-D-O-L-E. It really depends on the resolution of your camera. My store has high def, so you want to talk about storing 30, 60, 100 days, you're looking at $10,000 DVR hard drives per 30 cameras. We roughly have 86 cameras in our store. I have four hard drives, so we have a pretty substantial amount of money wrapped up in cameras. 24 hours, I don't think, would do justice. A lot of times we deal with the police and fire department, EMTs, you know, that they're still in full investigation at 24 hours, and it's not enough time to pull a video. You got to have at least 30 to 80 days.
Thank you, Ms. Madol. Mr. Albertson?
Sorry, just to ask
Mr. Madol?
Clarifying question. So looking at a potential liquor store and thinking about how that would be set up, are you saying that it would... Are you okay with the 30 days, or are you saying that would be expensive and a burden?
No, I think 30 days is good.
Good, okay. All right, I was just making sure.
Maybe more.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on up. Further discussion?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hearing none, as this is an introduction. I think I like introductions. I like that the fact that this is brought to the table. Definitely a lot of questions. I'm sorry. All those in favor of the amendment changing 24 to 30 days, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Amendment passes unanimously. Going back to the main motion. Any discussion on the main motion? Thank you, Lori. Vice Mayor Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess my only concern is with this ordinance, are we catering our liquor store to the people of the villages or not catering to the people within our community? That is my biggest concern with this, with the limited amount of numbers of purchase a person can make as a person per day. It becomes an issue once again, like we had as a damp community, where a person can only order 24 liters of hard alcohol, 2.5 cases of beer, and 24 liters of wine. And people are upset because that limited them on the amount of liquor that they could get for the month. So my concern is, are we just promoting bootlegging on a bigger scale with this ordinance, because you're eliminating the people within your community by the amount of alcohol they want to buy per day, and taking our business outside of our community to allow those people to purchase that. I understand that we have problems with liquor. I understand this is hurting our community, but are we solving that problem by this ordinance? That is my major concern. Because if I'm not going to buy it in town, that makes me a lie. Buy it in Anchorage, and that eliminates people here from receiving the wealth from that substance.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. Further discussion? Like I was saying, I'm probably going to be in favor of this introduction. I like the fact that it's brought to the table. There are definitely some questions that I'm going to be researching. Vice Mayor Williams does bring out some good points where we're actually hindering, you know, good standing community members that want to, you know, buy four or five bottles and go fishing up the Keys of Raleigh and stay there and stay in camp or whatever, you know, being safe as they can. Or, you know, certain little get-togethers. I like the fact that, you know, it's brought to the table. I have some questions about, you know, the legal aspects of it. And like I said, I'm going to be doing some research and asking some questions between now and the next meeting. So, is there any further questions or discussion? Mr. Charles?
On page 14 of 19, 5.08.160, transportation of alcohol, does that in general mean what if somebody's vehicle is broke down, they can't use a taxi cab and go to the liquor store and go back home using the taxi cab? Is that the way I understand it?
Well, basically, that's already the law. Basically, that's saying that the commercial people can't bring it to your home, is the way I see it.
But
you
they
have
can...
to you have to go purchase it.
Oh,
you can't you can't
get
it delivered.
Okay.
Basically, or they can't deliver it to you.
Oh, okay. I understand it now. Yeah.
So you can't say, you know, go pick up my liquor and they deliver it. Basically, what that's saying. That's the way I understand it, anyways. That sound like?
That's correct.
But that's already the law. That's not an amendment or anything. So, any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, introduction, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Nay. One nay. So the motion does pass 5-1. Councilwoman Jung Jordan in opposition. Okay, moving on to the next item. Item 10.3, resolution 19-07, protesting the transfer of package store liquor license from Cusco Liquor to ACC Liquor Store LLC to be located at 811 3rd Avenue, brought forth by Council Member Albertson. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Mr. Albertson.
Thanks. So I think we're all kind of getting familiar with the process here. The City of Bethel has an opportunity to protest, support, or take no action when a license comes our way. So this is exercising our right, and I am proposing that we protest. The reason for that is we have some history with AC in this community, and I have some concerns about the things that went on. You know, there were some things that were brought up earlier today that I just kind of wanted to address. One was that perhaps AC was not aware that there was problems with the alcohol or that people were concerned about it, and I really... can't see how that would be true. We did set up a task force. They were at the table. This was continued discussions. You know, we had disagreements on the you know, from the very beginning on the conditional use permit. We did not have our process in place when they started operating, and so that did not follow the same process that we have now. We had disagreements about security guards when they were working and what constituted a security guard. We also heard about, you know, voluntary solutions or we don't need new code because we can handle this internally. We went from I think a limit of no limit of bottles to 12. Some asked whether that was an appropriate limit. And I think what we saw over and over again is that, you know, AC didn't make concessions on stuff until the ABC board, AMCO board, took their license away. I remember I was at the Cultural Center. I think many of us were. It was a standing room only. It was a lot of people in there. And that was, I think that it would be very hard for AC to make the case that they weren't aware that organizations and the public was concerned about the way that they were doing business. So, you know, those are some of my personal opinions, but just kind of go back and look a little bit at some of the data. I have a graph in there, and, you know, I'm not talking today about legal sales and not legal sales. I'm talking today about a vendor that we had compared to a vendor that we currently have, and the difference in how their business has reduced some of the unintended harms of alcohol sales, right? And I would say that that suggests what national and international research suggests is that policy around alcohol and sales practices and, you know, I would say corporate integrity can affect how alcohol affects a community, right? And so, you know, we can see in that chart, if you compare when AC was our sole vendor to now, when Caribou is our sole vendor, we have fewer ambulance calls than we did, right? We have fewer intoxicated pedestrians. Right? We have fewer assaults. We have fewer of all these things. As I said before, I had an opportunity to talk to Todd Perez from Caribou Liquor at a task force meeting and ask him about, you know, why is that? What are some of these things that you're doing and how do you think that's working? And he told me. So, I mean, I think that there are things that an organization can do. I didn't see AC do those things. I saw that this council and this community struggled with AC on many different issues. We heard them here. And so, I mean, I guess the question for us today is, do we as a council think that AC is responsible enough to do this well in our community? Do we trust them to do that? And do we think that the community of Bethel, the constituents, all those people that were at the cultural center, all those people that we hear from, do we feel like they believe that AC can be trusted with this, that AC has proven themselves to be trustworthy with this responsibility? And I think the history is not. I think that there's, moving forward, there'll be some more protections in place, but, you know, I hate to say it, we sort of heard these things before. So that's why I put a protest together. I tried to focus on some of the data that we have now that, Caribou's been opening for a while. So we have another liquor store functioning in the same community under the same laws during the same times of year. And we can see that it has resulted in fewer alcohol-related problems. Also, I would say that this is that data is community-wide, right? So I think that makes it unlikely that this is just a location issue. I think anyone that lives in Bethel understands that it's a small community, and wherever alcohol is sold, it becomes a community problem. It's not just limited to that, you know, one or two block radius. So that is why I put this protest together. And I have heard from many constituents that have similar concerns. So I would ask you all to consider whether AC has behaved in a way that would lead us to believe they can do this responsibly and in the best interest of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Mr. Barr.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll pass for now. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Speak now or forever hold the peace. I will now give ACC, in accordance with Alaska statutes, to defend your transfer. Mr. Pickett, state your name and spell it for the record, please.
I'm Jeff Cycles, J-E-F-F.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I apologize.
Jeff Cycles, J-E-F-F, last name C-I-C-H-O-S-Z. I'm Director of Operations out of the Anchorage office. Thanks for having me tonight. And just a little rebuttal to Council and Elverson's. We were not operating under the same laws. There was no, like you stated, no conditional use permit back then. Us and BNC at Kipsuvik got approved without conditional use permits. And that was a big one. But when we came in, we knew we operate eight to 10 liquor stores throughout the state. We knew Bethel was volatile. So we came in operating limited hours, noon to 8. BMC is till 11. We didn't know about limits, so we started with a limit of 12. We don't have any limits in any other part of the state, any of our stores, Anchorage. And then we did bring that down to 6, and we also closed Sundays towards the end. And there is no security guards in the Bethel Municipal Code, and we had done that too. And the police, they all had the passwords, the troopers, local, they would just come in our store and access our cameras and computers. So we did try. I think the big issue would have been the first time to sell alcohol in Bethel for 40 years. And I think it just, the newness and the pains and that was a lot of it. We've learned a lot since then. Back in February of 2018, of course, our renewal was protested by this body, and it was mainly, you know, the no conditional use permit, and no location. The location was the largest issue. It came up again and again, and then the lack of or the security issue came up again and again. And I think, and then at that meeting, Sarah Oates found out in May that the population had dropped. So that was a third license. And I foresee Bethel having a third license, you know, in a few years or so, if everything continues. So that left two licenses, hence we're trying to buy Cesari's and transfer it to this really good location. Sammy's is a great location to run a liquor store, in our opinion, and quite a few people I've talked to. And I think we've addressed a lot of the issues that we brought up, and a lot of the growing pains over a few years. And at that May meeting, with that, you know, all those bullet points and the conditional use permit, the planning commission, like that, and that's what we plan to honor. And that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Lori, I believe this is the last chance we get to protest, right?
It will be, yes.
Okay, so this is the final chance this body gets to protest this license. And like Councilman Albertson said, we either do nothing or we protest. And I was there at a lot of the meetings as well, and one of the big things that ACC said was, it's give us time, miss time, it's going to cost money. You know, we don't have that kind of money. And here it is. I don't know if you're buying or leasing the building. You're definitely buying the liquor license, which I imagine costs money. And that was one of your big arguments back then. It wasn't just the conditional use under the old law. I don't think that had anything to do with it. It definitely was, location was a big factor, and this current location is better, definitely. So those are some of my concerns that I had. I don't know if anybody else wants to talk to this subject. Final call. Vice Mayor Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think people in our community had a wrong information when AC closed the last time. They thought liquor was not going to be sold during that time, and it was just waiting for the other companies to start up, and they started up, and there was a lot of people that came in our community saying, why are they selling alcohol? I thought we are not allowing alcohol to be sold. And I told a lot of people at that time, we had two people that were still permitted to sell alcohol. They were just not doing their business model at that time to sell alcohol in the community. And one of them was BNC, and the other one was, forgive my, Cesari. And that was their business model. It wasn't us stopping the flow of liquor in this town. It was just their business model was different than a lot of business models concerning liquor stores is in the United States. So if we protest this liquor license, say that AC has not been a good community member because of liquor stores that was by housing, but we thank them for giving us money to buy an ambulance, and we thank them for doing other things in the community. I get this mixed message that it's okay to give to us if it's on our terms, but we can't have you do what you're trying to do as a business. And that's a concern for me. Do we have any guarantees that if the business license is not transferred and there goes back to Cesari that he's not going to open up a store and have people buy 12 cases of liquor a day? We can't stop that. And if you're a business model to make money as a corporation, that's what you do, is make money. This area has voted twice to have liquor in the community. Last year, we had a vote to go damp again. That failed. We are still a wet community. I know we have issues with liquor. I understand that people from the surrounding villages come to Bethel to drink, but there are some of us here in Bethel that go to Anchorage to drink, go to Juneau to drink, go to Hawaii to drink. So we're saying it's not okay for somebody here to come to our community to drink if they're from another village, but it's okay for us that live in Bethel to go to Anchorage to drink. So for myself, do we want AC to be a better community member concerning the sale of liquor in our community? Yes. How do you do that? By inviting them into the community and saying, hey, you need to be part of that community. I know their manager is going to live really close to that liquor store and lives next to the liquor store now, if I remember where he lives correctly. I don't live in that neighborhood. I don't think any of us here live in that. No, excuse me, Mr. Barr. Excuse me, Councilmember Barr. Live in that neighborhood. Then there's also another issue that we're going to have three pot stores in our community. We had the third application come in 2 days ago or so. So I'm just saying is we're not having an issue that is going to go away anytime soon. And there's still a proposal out there to go back to a damp status. So I'd rather bring AC in as a full family member in our community and try to ask them to do better, then beat them over the head and say, no, this is not going to be better because of past issues. As a parent, your kid will never get better. If they want to be a better community member, let's ask them to be a better community member. And I think they're willing to do that. People learn from their mistakes. If we're going to shut them out, are we going to go and ask them, hey, can we have some more money for something? That's my concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams, for the discussion. Mr. Albertson.
I guess I'd just add a couple things. You know, if AC doesn't purchase this, someone else will, or Cesare will open shop, and I do concede that. Sure, that's the situation that we're in. But, you know, to say that they might sell 12 bottles or unlimited bottles and there's nothing we can do to stop that, we absolutely can stop that, right? They would have to go through a conditional use permit process that is now in place, or we could change the ordinance to stop that. So we could stop that. You know, and regarding the issue of community donations or the ambulance, you know, I don't think donating money towards an ambulance buys you the right to sell alcohol in our town. AC has a successful business here. I buy groceries there. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think, you know, that doesn't mean you get to run the town then, right? And I think that that had a disproportionate influence on our town. I don't think that the money that we got for an ambulance came close to paying for the calls that we went on with it, or the suffering and the economic losses that we had from alcohol use. So I guess I would just throw that out there. I understand that AC as a company contributes to many things in our community, and they have for years. I absolutely concede that point. My problem isn't with AC as a business. It's with their practices around selling alcohol. And with regard to that, I would say the best indicator of future performance is past performance. And that is something that one of our previous mayors used to say when we were talking about employees. Right? We don't know what the future holds. We don't know if people are going to change, but we do have, you know, fool me once, right? So, you know, I don't think that we're helpless here and without information. The information that we have, I think, isn't great. You know, and honestly, I would rather see someone else have that license that we don't have a negative history with, someone that has shown a better past performance on operating in Bethel or somewhere else. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Albertson. Mr. Barr?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. As I'm thinking about this, one of the things that I'm thinking of is how biased this protest appears to be, in the sense of if we wanted to look at AC's application as a whole and insert it into this document, we would have AC's assurances that they would be fixing a lot of the issues, to include a 1%, and I remember this vividly because of my involvement with Bethel Search and Rescue, is their commitment to provide 1% of their proceeds to nonprofits within our community. I think that the whole package should have included AC's assurances with this protest. That way we can I couldn't find it.
It's there.
Letter from AC to council.
It's a letter from ACC?
That's it.
I'm a slow reader, Your Honor.
It's quite all right.
Sorry. But, and that being said, I think if we inserted, one of the other things that I was thinking about is if we inserted the numbers, if we transpose the numbers or the name of the companies from AC to Caribou Liquor to AC, would they be treated the same? Is Caribou Traders maybe gaining more favoritism because they're a local company versus a Canadian company from out of this country? Because I've heard biases against the AC store locally, where they're always blaming the Canadian company and I hear it repeatedly, where AC is, and this Canadian company is taking away our revenue from this town. So I hear that. Is it this protest because of that? And if, number three, if we actually created a model for... would we still be protesting that second license? I don't think so. You know, I really do think that, in all fairness to AC, they should be allowed for the transfer of the license. Do I hate their location? Heck yeah. Do I want it in my neighborhood? Hell no. But with all fairness, I believe that AC should be given the chance to receive and operate a liquor store within Bethel. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. I was just reviewing that as well. I've been looking at it all night long as far as ACC's letter to the council, basically setting out some of the voluntary things they're doing. And it is true that we did vote wet. We are authorized two liquor licenses, and whether the transfer is approved or not, somebody's going to have that second license. And I do believe that people learn from the past. Those that want to do better will do better. I know it's a far stretch for me, having been part of the long, lengthy discussions we had in several council meetings when Mr. Pickett actually came out and addressed the council. And but I believe, you know, the intent is there with this. So any further discussion? Mrs. Jung-Jordan?
Yeah, I just believe that you shouldn't base your future on your past. I mean, if that was true, I wouldn't be sitting up here today. I know that alcohol is a very touchy subject in this town. I don't think it's fair to deny AC their right to open up a liquor store based on their past. They were the first ones to open a liquor store in 40 years, and, you know, that's kind of a big deal. People went crazy when the liquor store opened, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of people cannot handle their liquor, and I don't blame the liquor. I really think that is like underlying mental illness. So I don't think it's very fair. I think it's bad business to deny them this. It's very un-American, very unbusiness-like. You know, as a business owner, I think it's very, very unfair to only have one liquor store. And then the other option would be to have the liquor store down by the riverfront. That's like the worst place to have it, you know, along the riverbank there. I mean, people could fall in. People have already fallen in. I don't think it's fair, and people can't stop. I mean, they can't stop blaming the liquor for everything. And I think if we're going to grow as a community, we can't keep on protesting liquor every single time. You know, Bethel voted on this twice, and the majority voted in favor of this. So I think we have to respect the wishes of the voters of Bethel. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Jung-Jordan. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go into a roll call vote, Lordy, on the protest of the transfer liquor license.
Councilmember Jung-Jordan. Vice Mayor Williams.
No.
Mayor Watson.
No.
Councilmember Robertson.
Yes.
Councilmember Barr.
No.
Councilmember Charles.
No.
Okay, so the resolution fails by a vote of 5-1 with Councilman Albertson voting yes and the rest of council voting no. Moving on to the next item. I'm going to go ahead and call a 5-minute recess if you guys don't mind.